Prices with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, about 25 minutes to the top of the hour, and the second half on this weekend preview, and we wanted to get to Dick for a little international touch, and of course, we talked Dubai with Dick last Friday, and really was an entertaining morning on that front, watching and wagering, and there's some big doings, too, at Hong Kong, Sha Tin, and Happy Valley. Dick, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Yeah, we got a big Sunday coming up at Sha Tin. This past Wednesday at Happy Valley, you know, we had eight races, and the payouts were kind of typical of Hong Kong. We had an odds-on horse, we had a $6 horse, we had another $6 horse, an $8 horse. Then $24, $25, $54, and $65. So a tremendous mix of form and outsiders making up the eight races at Happy Valley. Wednesday night, this coming Sunday, early Sunday morning, our time, is a major prep day for the Champions Day on April 28th. I'll give you the first two races, then I'll get into the stake races very quickly. The opener is a 5-furlong straightaway sprint. This is a Class 3. I like number 2, Orionids, and I'm going to play him with number 3, Beauty Charisma, and number 1, Cheerful Jet. So 2-3-1 in the opener. Second race is a similar handicap, actually Class 4, and I like number 4, Win-Win, who's adding blinkers and gets the leading rider, Zach Purton. Now, race 3 is the Sprint Cup. This is a grade 2, group 2, excuse me, 1,200 meters, approximately 6 furlongs, and only 6 are entered. I do like number 2, Beat the Clock, from John Size and Jao Marrera. They're a formidable combination in Hong Kong, and they just look too tough in here. The weight spread isn't bad from top to bottom. Now we go on to race number 7, and this is the Chairman's Trophy, and this most likely will act as a prep for the Champions Mile coming up in 3 weeks. The one horse is Beauty Generation, and while not a household name, Beauty Generation is equal weighted to Winks in the international ratings. So he's a terrific horse. He won God knows how many in a row. My form shows 4, but I know he's won more than that. He's coming in for John Moore and Zach Purton. They'd like to keep him a little quiet. They don't want him too keyed up for this race, knowing that he has to come back in 3 weeks, but just on class edge alone and only carrying 128 pounds. Beauty Generation should be well worth watching. I mean, even if you're not betting the race, Michael Walters, odds on. But he's certainly someone worth looking at because he's a pretty exciting horse worldwide. I don't know if they're going to have any plans to venture out of Hong Kong in the summer. Obviously, Royal Ascot would be a spot for him. St. James Palace going a mile. But Beauty Generation is a superstar in Hong Kong and equal to Winks. How many horses can say they're equal to Winks?
No.
In the international ratings. Underneath them, there's some other good horses in the race. Mission Tycoon and the two horse Pakistan Star.
Sure.
Change stables from Tony Cruz to Patrick O'Sullivan. And this one is enigmatic, to say the least. Some races he doesn't want to run. Doesn't want to leave the gate, does crazy things during the race, but he seems to be okay now. And on his best day, he's very, very good. Now, does he show up with his A game? Is he distracted? Whatever. But he's an interesting horse to follow. Race 9 is the Harlech Handicap. And this is a Class 1 going a mile and a quarter. And it drew Waikuku, who was the beaten favorite in the BMW Derby last time out from post 14. This time, he's drawn much, much better. He drew post 12, but it's just a different setup for him this time. And he'll be tough. Dark Dream, who was fourth to his stablemate, Furor, in the BMW Derby. He comes back from post five. Zach Purton is going to ride that one. And I think they'll be very interesting to watch as these horses, they still want to run well heading into the Champions Day because you have to be a certain weight in order to get into the race. So you want to be going forwards, and some of these horses are good enough to just kind of cruise through these prep races, but not all of them. So I think Waikiku, who was disappointing, having had won a bunch of races in a row, he kind of stubbed himself. But still, he passed 12 horses in the stretch. And the mile and a quarter is not a problem. John Marrero is back to John Size. I think he'll ride him a little bit differently, probably trying to find a mid-pack position and possibly save some ground. He did save ground last time, but it was at the back of the pack. So really good races coming up. The season really heats up here. 3 weeks Sunday, big races. 3 weeks on Sunday, real big races. And those will be international group stakes races where horses from around the world can enter and compete. So that'll be a lot of fun. And hopefully we'll see maybe a couple of the horses who went to Dubai. The timing is such that they could certainly come back 4 weeks later and run back in Hong Kong.
Well, and I was going to bring that up, and we were going to talk a quick Dubai recap from your perspective as well. And you know, there were a handful of Hong Kong participants that really didn't impact. Of course, from the Australasia side of things, Almond Eye, Dick, she's the new hot thing. And if people didn't see her last year, they should be tuned in going forward. She's really, really special.
Well, she won the Japan Cup against males in an incredibly fast time. For 2,400 meters, it's a world record. Her goal is the Arc de Triomphe, and the Japanese have never won the Arc de Triomphe. They've sent top horses there, El Condo Pasa, Deep Impact, Ofevre should have won, and then suddenly lurched to the rail in the deep stretch and got nailed. This will be probably the best horse they've ever sent, and then waiting for it's going to be enabled and a bunch of other monster mile-and-a-half European types. So Almond Eye was just, she did it so easily and just so professionally, just sat the trip, got clear in the lane, and then just pulled away as easy as she wanted. I think she could have won by more, but why do that first start out of the box? And I give them credit running her at a mile and eighth instead of trying Machine the Classic, which she would have laid over, would have been an easy win for her. But I think the mile and eighth sets her up for other races down the road. So I thought she was the star of the night. Godolphin obviously had a great night with four wins. And the American, the XY Jet, just gate opens and boom, he's on the engine and promises fulfilled. Broke a little slow, so... He was loose, and he wasn't coming back. And last year he was loose, and then somehow Mind Your Biscuits makes up 10 lengths about a furlong and nails him. So he's run great over there and ran great again. And the Americans showed up in the races that they figured to show up, and Godolphin showed up in the races they figured to show up, and Almond Eye was just the star of the night. I just thought she was brilliant.
I agree, and Thunder Snow became an interesting postscript with the repeat and an achievement that unique in Dubai World Cup history, and it set off a debate on Twitter as to where he stands in recent. In the recent past, in the pantheon of good horses, and there's a wide array from some people celebrating him, as an elite, and others, particularly in North America, Dick, are going to have a hard time forgetting that Derby episode, which really should not be held against him. He's a nice horse, boy. There's no questioning how the quality of Thunder Snow.
And that day in the Derby, give Christophe Soumillon all the credit in the world for not getting unseated.
Yeah, it's true.
When the strap gets loose and gets back, it becomes a bucking strap. And he's going crazy. And Soumillon, those horses that just left the gate are going to be coming around in a minute, 30 seconds for the last quarter. And you want to talk about tragic. So what he did was sensational. He showed it was a fluke because he came right back in Europe and won a Group One, and then he's run well in his other American horses. I mean, he has a big bankroll. I think he's over $16 million now. I mean, the only thing with Thundersnow is he doesn't really pass horses. He's a grinder, so he was grinding, and I thought who rode Gronkowski? Ocean Murphy. That was a spectacular move down the backstretch because that almost was the winning move when he took the lead, and Soumian had to let him go. I mean, you can't battle him down the backstretch and try to park him out. And then he came back on him, but that was almost the winning move for Gronkowski. At least with this trainer and that rider, maybe he'll be as good as he sometimes looks.
Well, that was and that was a form reversal that I mean, people you could hear people gasping collectively in the stretch when it looked like he was going to game, he was going to game it to the wire. It was unbelievable.
It's a long stretch, but horses that turn for home with the lead are very hard to run down. And he looked like he had it, and then Thundersnow just kept coming and coming and inch by inch. I mean, it wasn't like he swallowed him up. It just barely got there. Exciting center. And if you, when you go to the World Cup, when Godolphin wins the World Cup, it really is special, no matter which horse it is. I mean, the crowd really goes nuts. And I don't know if the coverage showed it, but Soumian does as big a flying discount as Frankie or Cordero.
I saw it later, yeah.
He's a bit of a whack job. He's an incredible rider when he gets on the horse. And then, like, when he rode Zarkova, it was before, during, after. He was as nutty as she was, but they fit together. And he's just brilliant. And he's kind of now gotten, in the last couple of years, he's gotten into the Godolphin part of the Dubai Carnival, where before he was always with Mike DeCock. So now he's getting even better horses. And it was nice to see Saeed win with Charlie Appleby winning with many of the Godolphin horses. Here's Saeed winning, I think it was his eighth or ninth Dubai World Cup. So it was a good day of racing, good morning of racing, and then nice afternoon of racing at Gulfstream.
Absolutely. Dick, I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you from Hot Springs next week. We'll get you back to Thursday. Things kind of got away from us here Wednesday, Thursday, first couple of days here in California. But I appreciate it, and good luck this weekend.
Okay, Steve. Thanks.
Dick Powell, everybody, for HKJC Racing. Follow on Twitter and HKJC.com, the Hong Kong Jockey Club. And Dick, great with the international perspective. We're going to stay right here. And Ed DeRosa standing by, and James Scully will get added into the mix. Ed, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, live from Keeneland, and a little misty today, but truly feels like we've turned a corner, and now the Derby is on the horizon in earnest.
In a big way, and as we wait for Scully, run down what the TwinSpire players need to know for some fun on the platform this weekend.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty excited for our Keeneland promotion. It's $1,000 every day. You play an exacta box, and your horses not only hit the exacta, so you win your bet, but if those horses also would have put you in a situation to hit the trifecta or superfecta, you win a share of that $1,000 a day. So, for instance, if you box four horses, 1, 2, 3, 4, and that's the way it comes in, then you would earn a share from the trifecta and the superfecta. And it's kind of a play on the OLO. Oh, I should have played the tri, I should have played the super that we've all heard at the OTB and probably been guilty of ourselves. And Jason Beam did a really fun video promoting the promotion as well. So we're excited to have that every day at the Keeneland meet. And then, of course, tomorrow with the onslaught of Triple Crown preps and the stakes supporting them at Aqueduct in Keeneland, we have Gus Alonso, Spotlight Selections at Brisnet, and Gus was also kind enough to join me for my How to Bet Horse Racing podcast. So a lot of good info, a lot of good promos. It's going to be a fun weekend.
No doubt about it. And, of course, in addition to the racing action, we've also got the last round of Derby future wagering. Any thoughts on that group?
Yes, obviously, it's hard to be too dig your heels in until we see what happens tomorrow. But I have a few price points I'm looking at. I think Bourbon War is playable if he drifts up based on what happens tomorrow. Another Twist of Fate is a horse that, you know, I'm hoping gets in. So I need to keep that in mind when looking at the price he is. But I certainly maybe have a flutter on him. And then it's conceivable that the field might be undervalued tomorrow, Steve. People prefer betting individuals, and if you know, the right horses get in, I do think the market will reflect that, but it's definitely something people should keep in mind on Sunday, is who exactly is covered in that field and if you're getting the right price.
Absolutely, and James Scully joining us as well. James, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
I don't know what you did, but Dr. Edgar, you gave out Friday and drove the price down to favoritism. What was going on there?
I know. I mean, I was disappointed to see those odds, but definitely got the trip I was hoping for.
Well, let's get your quick future wager. Anything there that, you know, depending on what transpires in the races tomorrow, nine horses are participating across the country that are Derby hopefuls. But anybody that you're tracking that's already run or is going to run next week?
Yeah, I'm definitely looking at two horses. They're going to be in the Arkansas Derby next weekend. So, you know, bettors won't have an opportunity to react if they run well. And that's Long Range Toddy and Omaha Beach. I like both of those colts right now. I think, you know, Improbable will be the favorite in that race, and he'll be a shorter price as well than either one of those two, I think, in full four, the Kentucky Derby future wager. So there's opportunities, potential opportunity for some value, in my estimation, on those two horses. I think they're very live Kentucky Derby win contenders.
I like it. All right, let's dive in, boys. And since you're at Keeneland, might as well start there. And let's rip through from the bluegrass backwards. Ed, start us off.
Yeah, bluegrass. I'm swinging for the fences, Steve. Just not entirely convinced that, you know, this race goes through the horses who will be the obvious three favorites. And I landed on Aquadini. On top from the outside, 30-1 morning line, and this horse got the best first net speed rating last out, which just tells you how competitive this race is, and if they're all about equal, why not go for the biggest price? So I'm hoping Lannery can work a trip from the outside, but another mid-90s first net number could get the job done at a big price.
Yeah, I brought up Aquadini as one of those horses that seems to be, you know, moving in the right direction, kind of along the by my standards, and even by even Bodie Express from last week. You know, horses that are progressive, that are right behind the kind of numbers being posted by, you know, the obvious players. James, what are you doing in the bluegrass?
Well, I landed on Signal Man for my top pick. I just think that in that Fountain of Youth, he was just dull early, showed no tactical foot, couldn't hold positioning. But, you know, McPeak's put two bullet works in him. And if you look at his races last year in the Kentucky Jockey Club, he's like within five lengths of the leads, tracking the leaders in a 14-horse field and fourth down the backstretch. Same thing in the Breeders' Futurity. He showed more when he was fit last year. He showed more tactical speed in his best efforts, and I'm anticipating a move forward whereby he's able to sit right off the early leaders, and he'll be in position turning for home. A couple of long shots that do intrigue me because, you know, this has really been a year for these up-and-coming types, like earning their first stakes wins in these Kentucky Derby qualifiers. And I took a long look at Sir Winston. You know, he didn't get on track until too late in the Tampa Bay Derby, but he has the look of a horse that's moving forward. He's the kind of long shot I'll use in like any multi-race wagers. You know, Aquadini also intrigues me because of his speed. I think he can show more off that last race at Fairgrounds.
Very good. Backing it up to the Ashland, Eddie.
It's an interesting wagering race, I think, because Feedback's listed as the third choice on the morning line and could be the type that wouldn't even shock me to take more money than Jaywalk. So I'm going to be watching the board. Chocolate Kisses and Bizwax come out of the Honeybee, and Motion to Motion is a filly I actually have a lot of respect for, and I thought they both ran well with her. Chocolate Kisses obviously winning with the right trip, but I say all that to say I think Bizwax, 15-1 on the morning line, I'm not going to worry about who wins. Bizwax is the horse. I'm going to try to get in there. Very similar approach to what I did last week in the Florida Derby, Steve, where I wasn't going to try to be right about the favorites. I thought it could go any number of ways, but Bodhi Express was a horse I thought maybe could stick around at a big price, and obviously Bizwax isn't going to be quite that price here in a more compact field, but I'm playing the race very similar. She's the filly I want in the number.
And Bodhi, you absolutely were banging the drum, and you couldn't have been too happy pre-race if you saw what was going on with him. Absolute, I've seen horses pitch fits. That was something, and it's actually very lucky that one of the escorts, one of the grooms, was able to hold on to him. That was crazy.
Yeah, thankfully it was one of those Saturdays where I was with the family, so I was kind of scrolling through Twitter making sure I didn't miss the race. So I saw the chatter about it, but didn't actually see it. By the time I loaded my Twin Spires video, they were pretty much ready to spring the latch.
Well, you would have been canceling tickets. You would have been, you would have been canceling tickets. Let's say that. How about you, James? What are we doing?
Yeah, I've got a little bit of a contrarian attitude in the Ashland, like Ed does with his top pick. I mean, Restless Rider coming back off a long layoff. Jaywalk and Feedback have the potential to get hooked up there early. Not 100% sold on them at two turns yet as well. To me, Belle's the one that holds some intrigue to me. She's 4-for-4 in her career. She stretched out last time to two turns on the turf at Fairgrounds. Rallied well to win that. I can see her sitting a good trip here. And the other thing I like about her is that arguably the best race of her four races came here at Keeneland last year when she crushed entry-level allowance foes, got a 92 Brisk speed rating that is pretty solid, you know, at this level, and looks like she still has some upside. So I'm intrigued by Belle Sawan. I give her an upset chance in Ashland.
That'd be great for Neil Pessin to win an Ashland. That'd be very cool. James, stay with you. The Madison.
Well, the Madison to me, I mean, if I could get like 4-1 on Amy's Challenge, I'd lock it in a heartbeat because I just loved her last couple races. I think, 7 furlongs would be no problem for her this year as a 4-year-old, and I expect her to run a big race. So that's one of my, that's best bets in the stakes sequences is Amy's Challenge.
Excellent. And Ed, what are you doing?
Yeah, I do like Amy's Challenge, but America's Tale is also a horse I'm going to be using. Seemed to wake up with more of a pressing trip under Paco last time, and he retains the mount here for Bernie Flint, shipping up from Gulfstream. They've seems like they've tried a lot of different things with their distance and surface-wise, and now maybe with this running style and a little maturity, the 4-year-old could get the marquee win here. I thought the inside information was scintillating, and at 10-1, I think she's worth a play right back.
Very good. Ed, what about the Shakertown?
So the grade one, well, I guess the Bluegrass is a grade two now, but those were the three I got from Keeneland tomorrow.
Oh, very good. All right. James, anything else on Saturday, Keeneland?
Well, I mean, Disco Partner looks like he's going to get a lob set up in there. You know, I think I'm he's going to be a short price in that Shaker Town, but I like the inside draw for him there. I'm expecting a big effort from that. From him now 7 years old, this earner of, more than $1.3 million.
Let's turn to New York, guys. Opinions at the Wood and anything else? James?
Yeah, in the Wood Memorial, Steve, I definitely think Tacitus could get a nice setup. I think he's the kind of horse that could continue to improve over the next 5 weeks and run a good race at Churchill for Bill Mott. But I wound up landing on Final Jeopardy in there, taking a little bit of a up-and-coming type. Really liked how he stretched out to a mile, that one-turn mile, street sense out of an unbridled song there. Looks like the type should handle two turns. You know, really similar to Maximum Security last week, making his two-turn debut. We've seen a lot of horses do that this year and run well. Code of Honor and others, and I just think he's eligible to sit with his tactical speed a good trip behind the speed and get first run on the closers like Tacitus and Hakal.
Very good. Ed, Wood call.
Yeah, I'm swinging again. These 30-1 morning lines are calling my name. I'm going with Jovia on the outside. Always Mining was a horse I thought could have made some noise on the Derby trail. They're pointing for the Preakness instead, so I don't really see much shame in this horse finishing second behind him. And, I'd say Trip is more of a concern even for him than it is for Aquadini from the outside. I think the Wood's a little deeper field and maybe some stronger speed. But again, at this big a price and a horse who's shown he can run numbers, at least in the frame, it's just been that type of year. And 30-1, I just have stars in my eyes, Steve.
I love it, and I'd be delighted for Nick Juarez, who we've been talking about a lot from last week, and coming off the Bodie Express performance, and he gets a chance in New York this weekend. Nice. Anything else from the Carter or any of the other stakes in New York?
Nothing for me.
For me.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Nothing yet. All right. We'll watch. We'll watch both of you in case you add anything. Any California thoughts while we're together, Ed?
I do think the Santa Anita Derby is as great a betting races as the other two are. The Santa Anita Derby, most likely, I think, to be in sort of the Kentucky Derby conversation. And I'm just looking to play the board. I think if Game Winner somehow is 6-5 or higher because of the buzz on Roadster, I'd be willing to place a bet on him. And then Instagram, I'd be willing to take 4-1 or higher. And maybe we won't get it on either. That's the nature of the parimutuel game with takeout. Maybe they'll both be under where I want to be, and we just watch for Derby purposes. But I do, I'm looking to fade Roadster. I just think the buzz is too high, and people are kind of defaulting to him, looking for the next thing in a year where we've had a lot of parity. So he has the look of the biggest underlay to me, and I'll see what to do with the other two.
I like Roadster in there, Steve. I think he's going to sit a good trip right behind Instagram. He's going to flash to the front. Mike Smith's going to be able to, maneuver him to the outside of that horse. And, I'm going to be against Instagram. I think the race is going to go through Bob Baffert. I'm going to look for Roadster to run. I just think he's primed for a big effort, whereas, Game Winner, he doesn't need the race as much. He could drop both preps and still win the Kentucky Derby. So, yeah, I think Roadster's set for a big effort. And in the Santa Anita Oaks tomorrow, I like Ford DeLamar. I mean, once again, a lightly raced filly with, enormous upside. I don't think she handled that sloppy track last time. I think she's eligible to run a big race at a decent price because the short field, but extremely salty with Chasing Yesterday and Bellafina.
Interesting. All right, I haven't even really thought about it, given Bellafina's presence in that race. We'll talk with Hammer about it in a little bit. Guys, I appreciate
it. Oh, and one other horse, Steve, real quick. Today at Keeneland,
yep.
Race number 7. Number 2 first premio. He's won two. He's raced twice at the distance, won both races by open length, showed he loved the turf with a little bit of give to it, a little bit of moisture in that Colonel Bradley last time. The speed on the outside, see him rip, scratched out. Brian Hernandez sending him right to the lead, wire to wire in race 7 today, number 2 first premio.
I love it. And
Can I get in on this too?
Yeah, sure.
Race 6, number 7, Blitz Says Bye, debuts for the Catman. FedBiz, excellent stats for first-time starters and in the mud. And the Dam won her debut herself and has already thrown a debut winner.
Very good. It's the Friday last-minute Scully horse and now a Friday last-minute DeRosa horse. Enjoy. It should be a great college scholarship day at Keeneland today, no matter what the weather, and then a big day tomorrow, Bluegrass and Ashland and the Madison and everything else that comes with it. Didn't even get to the maiden races and so forth, but there's a lot of great action, and Brisnet and Twin Spires to help you, and of course the Derby future wager closes 6 o'clock on Sunday. Guys, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
We'll take a break and might be our last break of the weekend preview. Come back with Dave Grenig and we'll get the latest news and his look at Wood Day, Wood and Carter Day, World of Trouble, and Vino Rosso, and more. Not just them, but they're the principals. Dave Grenig is the principal. He'll join us next, and we've got to get back around later to Nick Tamaro, who got a nail in his tire, had a blowout, and so he was over at the car shop at the tire shop getting a plug put in the tire. Talk to Nick later. Hour three, weekend preview. Absolutely the kind of day you come to Santa Anita for. Rick Hammerly, Steve Beck, together with you here on Sirius XM. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.